Are we okay here? Thank you for that this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 7, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 7. We're going to actually do a series over the next 4 weeks. So probably about 5 or 6 months ago, I was reading and studying through this chapter, and I noticed a word I noticed mentioned a few times in some of the stories was the word great. There's 4 key stories in this chapter. 3 times, the first 3 stories, the word great is used in reference to a certain principle or a certain quality. And then in the last story, it is alluded to. And so I'm going to be preaching through this chapter over the next 3 weeks. And our series is Let's Be Great. Now, when you say great, people think of, you know, I want to be great in some type of self-serving way. We're speaking of it in terms of a God-honoring way. Now, I know today is Father's Day, as we mentioned earlier, and happy Father's Day to you. By the way, Father's Day goes until midnight, so make sure you take advantage of that, okay? It is your day, because once the clock strikes midnight, it's over, and it's back to reality, so take advantage of that. Usually in churches on Mother's Day, we show nice little videos, we sing nice little songs, and then we preach about how wonderful mothers are. And then typically on Father's Day, we tell you what a crumb you are. And we're not going to do that today, because fathers, you're not a crumb. You are actually very important. But today's message revolves around a great man. And he's great for a very specific reason. In fact, Jesus praises him specifically for a specific reason, and that's what we're going to look at. And I would hope as fathers, I'll tell you what he's praised for. He's praised for his faith. And I would hope that as fathers, that would be our desire to be great men of faith and to pass that on to our children, pass that on to our families. Our children watch us, and the best way to pass something on to your family is in your actions, and your actions often speak louder than your words. I read a story, you've probably seen it in the news. It was his daughter's 18th birthday, which to him meant it was his last child support payment. So he decided to do something very unique and to get back at his wife. So he loaded a truck up with 80,000 pennies. What's that? Is that $800? 80,000 pennies. He backed the truck up onto the lawn, and he dumped the pennies on the lawn. It went viral. Do you know, I saw a little video clip, and they were talking to the daughter. That did not play very well for her. And he said, this is someone that doesn't even want to be a part of my life, and that's what he's going to do. And I would hope that as fathers, now we would not do that, okay? Probably drop $800, $100 bills on the lawn, maybe that. But fathers, it's very important that our children are watching us. They're seeing what we're doing. And this whole thing about fathers, it's okay not to be a part of our life. I'm glad that it's a little bit different in our church. We have fathers that want to be a part of their children's life. And I hope that that's your desire. I hope that your desire is to pass on something better to your family, and a good place to start would be what this man showed in the scripture this morning. It is unusual, as we're going to talk about greatness from a spiritual perspective, that the first story revolves around a Gentile. He was not an Israelite. He was a Gentile. Gentiles were, of course, you know, to the Jews, they were unclean. The enemy of God's people throughout the Old Testament. It revolves particularly, not just a Gentile, he's a Roman centurion. You would think as we talk about faith, we would be talking about some great Israelite that's doing something great, but we're going to talk about a Gentile. By the way, faith is for everyone. This centurion had a problem. The problem was that a servant that he had was greatly sick, in fact, to the point of death. And this centurion loved this servant so greatly that he did not want him to die. By the way, the centurion was a Roman soldier. He was in charge he was in command of a group. And somehow this centurion heard about Jesus Christ. And when his servant got sick, he figured that Jesus could heal him. And so he sends some people to go and to request that Jesus come back and heal his servant. Now, it's already unusual in that it's a Roman centurion, someone who would enforce the laws on the Jewish people, that he had concern for his servant. In those days, someone that had a servant, particularly a Roman, they could do whatever they wanted to them, and particularly if they got die, in most cases, they got sick, they just let them die and get somebody else. But it's very interesting. He sends some of the rulers of the Jews on his behalf to speak to Jesus. It says a lot about this man. We'll look at that in a minute. These Jewish leaders go to Jesus and they ask Jesus to come and heal his servant, and they say some good things about the centurion. And Jesus decides to come to the man's house, and as he's traveling to the man's house, the man sends some of his friends to head them off. And he tells them, he goes, look, our master is saying that he's not even worthy for you to come to the house. And he's being a centurion, he understands authority, that if you tell somebody under you what to do, it'll be done. And that all Jesus has to do is speak the word and his servant is healed. And Jesus is marveled by that. Look at verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. He was amazed at this man. And turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, this group, I say unto you, I have not found so, those two words, great faith, no, not in Israel. The servants returned to tell the master what Jesus had said, to find that the servant had been healed. But this centurion, this Roman soldier with great authority, was singled out by Jesus and in fact amazed Jesus because of this great quality he had. He had great faith. His character was so high that Jesus marveled at it. Many times we have preached behind this pulpit about faith. But I see, and we'll look at the story, some of the qualities that gave him this great faith. Since it is Father's Day, I will say this. Sometimes we seek greatness in places we should not. We seek greatness in our careers. And I think your career, you ought to do the best that you can. You ought not just to skate by. Wherever you're at, wherever you work, do the best you can. We try to seek greatness in, you know, we tie it to our bank accounts. What's in our account? Sometimes we try to seek greatness in the things that we're doing, our hobbies, the things we're interested in. But you know the one thing we ought to strive to have great faith in, greatness in? It ought to be in the faith. It ought to be in the spiritual realm of our life, not everything else. Great faith will make us successful in the matters that truly, in the issues that truly matter in life. Such things like your relationship with God. You know, we almost give ourselves a pass. Well, you know, we just come to church. No. It's more than just coming to church. What about your relationship with God Monday through Saturday? How about marriages? Do we want to just skate by in our marriages, or do we want to have a great marriage? In our children, and what we're trying to accomplish there, in having a purpose in life and service. You look at every area that God says is important. That's where we want to be great. And that greatness comes as a result of our faith. It touches every area of our lives. As we look at this story, we're going to say the great faith of this Gentile, this Roman soldier, and we see his faith by the testimony of those that are around him. Let me give you a couple of those. First of all, I want you to notice the testimony of others, the testimony of others. Look back at verse 1 of chapter 7. We're going to look through the verses this morning. He says, now when he had ended all of his sayings in the audience of his people, he entered into Capernaum. So here comes Jesus, he's in Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. We mentioned that. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Sometimes we read through the Bible and we don't understand the nuances of the story. Let me explain the nuances here. First of all, the Jews were not really in on the Gentiles. Secondly, Israel was not excited about Roman domination of their land. Thirdly, this guy represented the army of the Romans who enforced that domination of the land. By the way, if you got the centurion, if you caught his ire, he could make your life miserable. So here is this man, three strikes against him. He is a Gentile, he is a Roman, and he's a Roman soldier. And yet, who goes to Jesus to argue on his behalf for Jesus to do something for his servants? It says here, the elders of the Jews. The ones that should not have liked him. The ones that should have been against him. Let me just tell you something. That says something about this man. That is a tremendous testimony of what type of individual he was. His character was so high that he was able to break through all the barriers that should have kept these elders from arguing on his behalf. But yet they did. The power of the testimony. Wouldn't it be great for those of us that are called by the name of Christ to have such a testimony that people, if they notice us for something, they notice us for our faith? Wouldn't that be a thing? You know what's usually true in our society? Our society notices Christians for their lack of faith. They notice us because we say one thing and we do something different. Hey, why don't we work on being the type of Christians that even though people in our community may not believe like we believe, they may not understand who we are. The people who you work with, they may not understand you, but they look at you and say, we cannot argue against you because we see that you have a real, genuine, dynamic faith in your life. Let me ask you this. When you're gone, what will you be known for? What do you want to be known for? I want to be known for someone that was a Christian and tried to live for Jesus Christ. Will we be like this man who lived in such a way that he could overcome the prejudice of those who didn't even really buy into who he was? Or will we be like, I think of the Old Testament character of Lot. Think about Lot for a minute. Lot was a righteous man in the sense he was one of God's children. But you ever notice that when the city was going to be destroyed, he didn't even have enough of a testimony to help his own family? They wouldn't listen to him. He was like somebody that mocked. And so that was a problem. There's one true way to find out how genuine, authentic your faith is. Ask those who have regular contact with you. You want to be real practical? If you work somewhere, what do the people at your work think about you? I've worked at many places in the past, and whenever I worked somewhere, I always tried to make it clear that I was a Christian. I figured just get that out of the way up front. Worked at one place in Irvine from when we first moved back to California, and I let it be known right away. A bunch of single guys about my age. I was married already, and they knew I was a Christian, and I don't know how many of them one-on-one came and said, pointed out one guy and said, that guy says he's a Christian. And they point out all the hypocrisy of the things that he did at work. Look, that's not the kind of testimony we ought to have. You don't need to be perfect, but it's nice when somebody can look at you and say, maybe I don't understand Christianity. Maybe I don't understand everything about the spiritual realm, but there's something genuine about your life. The testimony of others. There's another testimony of our faith. It's the testimony of action. One of the things that caused these elders of the Jews to go on his behalf was what he did for them. Look at verse 5. It says, "For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." In other words, the faith that was evident to them in him was not just lip service. It was backed up on the actions and the particular actions he took that were geared towards them. He had a genuine concern for others. By the way, that's a great testimony right there. By the way, do we care about others? I mean, we have beliefs and so forth, and sometimes as Christians, our beliefs are so strong, and that's great, but are our beliefs tied into helping others? I get irritated about what's going on in our country. I don't like a lot of it. I don't like the way our country is going. I don't like the way it's being led, but I'm just going to be honest with you. You know why? Because people are being hurt. I don't like the way our school systems are going. Why? They're teaching stuff that's hurtful to individuals. Do we really care? This man had a concern. Look who he was concerned for. You know, he was concerned for individuals. He did not send to Jesus to get something for himself. Think about that. What was he sending to Jesus for? He was sending to Jesus for his servant to be healed. Nothing for him. He was concerned about individual. How often do we pass by people? And how often do we get this hard heart and we see something and, you know, like, boy, I wish they'd clean that up in our area. We wish this would go away. Listen, those are individuals. Or do we just live our lives seeking that which is only for ourselves? He had a concern for the nation. It says he loveth our nation. He wasn't just stationed there to do a duty. He loved the people that were there, and he loved the nation, and we talked about that. And then he had a concern for their worship. He built them a synagogue. That's where they would worship. By the way, since it is Father's Day, let me say this. Fathers, you want to leave your children something? You might want to leave them a Christian testimony of being faithful to God. Okay? You know, your children ought to just have the idea that, you know what? Sunday mornings, we go to church. Now, let's try that again. We go to church. We were at the house last night. Ryan was over the house, and the kids were there, and they were going home, and Levi was really tired. And I was downstairs, and he's like, "Hey, Grandpa, you got to talk to Levi." Levi's like, "I don't want to go to church tomorrow." And he was crying. I'm like, "Come here." And he's like, four. Is he four? Yeah, he's tired. You know, it's time for his bed. I'm like, "Come here, man." I'm trying to talk to him, and the more I talk to him about, "Hey, we ought to be at church tomorrow," the more he cried. I thought I could change his mind. He said, "I don't want to go." By the way, he's here today, right? Was he crying this morning? He was? Oh, well. I'll pray for him. Pray for Levi. He's headed down the wrong path. Very concerned about him. But listen, you know, kids are like that. "Hey, we're going to church this morning." "I don't want to go." I'll be honest with you, sometimes if I was honest, I don't want to go either. Brother, stay home and take it easy. But you know what? Let's set that example. That spiritual things are of a big deal. And I know y'all have your sports team, and I'm not getting on you for that, but I guarantee you, if you ask your kids, "Hey, what team does Dad like?" They all know, right? Okay? By the way, thank you, Clippers fans. You can come out of the woodworks now. It's been 75 years, but hey, you're happy. You know, I used to tell my kids, "Listen, if you like the Celtics, move out. Move out. You're not welcome here." That's like saying I'm a Christian and my kids are saying, "Well, I'm a Satanist." Okay? But let me just ask you something. Are there other things in their life? Would you say, "Hey, does Dad really care about the Lord?" By the way, it's not just for dads too. It's for moms. But we ought to be concerned. Thirdly, there's a testimony of his humility. Look at verse 6. "Then Jesus went with them," these that came, and he's going to go to the centurion's house. "And when they were not far from the house," here they are coming up upon the house, "the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, 'Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. Wow, look at that humility. He said, you know, Lord, I'm thinking this thing through. I'm not even worthy that you come to my house to do this. And the reason I didn't come to you in the first place is because I just didn't feel like I was even worthy to come talk to you about this. That is true humility. Now, here's the thing about humility is if you'll think about this for a second. He is talking to Jesus and he said this, I'm not worthy. What did the people that went to Jesus for him, what did they say about him? They said, he is worthy. Isn't that amazing? You see, we really can't fool others about this area. I mean, we can fool others, but sometimes it's always going to come out. But how easy is it to fool ourselves? We see ourselves more highly than we think we should. You know, faith realizes that whatever God gives us, whatever God's doing, we have to accept it and go with it. That God knows what is best, and God's trying to work something out in our life. But, and I've done this before. Things have happened in my life, and I'm like, Lord, why are you allowing this? Right? Don't look at me. I'm pretty sure you've done that too. Like, you know, come on. After all, Lord, I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do the right thing. Why would you allow that? You know what we're saying? I deserve more. You know, here's a verse for you. And I don't even know where it is, but I just remember David said it. What is man that thou takest knowledge of him? You know, David's like, why would you even think about me? David knew who he was. By the way, you know who you are too, right? Why don't we just thank God that God deals with us even though we don't deserve it? You know what we all deserve? And it's easy to say, and it's true. We all deserve hell, do we not? Anything over and above that, it's okay. It's a bonus. And by the way, God does bless us, and God does reward us, and God is so good to us. But this quality of humility was incredible. Here's what Charles Spurgeon said about this man, this particular story. He said, two features of character blend in him which do not often meet in such graceful harmony. He won the high opinion of others, and yet he held a low estimation of himself. Now, I'm not saying we need to walk around kicking ourselves, but just because people say nice things to you, don't let your head get big. Just thank God that you can humbly serve him. And thank God that regardless of him knowing who we are, we can actually pray to him and ask him to do great things in our life. You see, because to have great faith, you have to have great humility. The opposite of humility is pride. And God doesn't do real well with pride. You know, if we're proud and we say, I just want to go on my own way and do my own thing, God is more than willing to let you do that. And I don't want to be there. Let's understand who we are. Next, I see the testimony of his confidence. Look at verse 8. He explains to Jesus his reasoning and telling Jesus that all he has to do is say the word and my servant will be healed. He says in verse 8, for I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. He says, I'm under authority, but I'm also over others. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Right? Isn't that what a leader in the military does? He says, you, come. And you don't argue, you come. Hey, you, go. And you do that. There's no questions asked. And he's giving that in the context of Jesus. All you have to do is say the word and my servant will be healed. He had a great confidence that if Jesus wanted to heal his servant, it was going to be done. Do you know if you're going to have faith, you have to have confidence. You have to have a belief that what God says is true. And if I follow through and I follow and I do what he says, things turn out better for me than if I do things my own way. We have to look at God's word and say, that's his word. If he says it, it's true. I don't have to debate it. Fact of the matter is, I don't even necessarily have to like it, but I need to understand that it is true. And I can rest my confidence in God's word. I am so glad I don't have to rest my confidence in anything that's going on in this world. Because everything is, it's all in flux and things change at the drop of a hat. But I can tell you right now, the Word of God is rock solid. You can put your confidence in it. By the way, you say, I have faith. Well, let me ask you, do you seek and trust God enough to do what the Bible tells you to do? If not, you don't have faith. And you don't have confidence to do what God says. There are a lot of things as a new Christian I saw, and I'd see those things, or I'd hear it preached, and I'm like, that's crazy. That is the complete opposite of the way I live. But you know what I thought? God says it. I'm going to trust it. And I have confidence in it that if I follow it, things will be better. See, we throw our own ideas and philosophy. Well, if I do this, this is best for my marriage. If I do this, I had a guy come in one time to see me many years ago. He was having some issues with his marriage, and like I moved out. That was the best thing for me. And he told me because someone else did it, and that was going to help him. I'm like, that's the worst thing you could do. Where did you get that from? Somebody just said that was a really good idea. Why don't we just stick to the Scripture? The Scripture is not a good idea. It's rock solid truth. How many of you have ever got advice from somebody, and it's like, hey, that worked out. That was great. Anybody? Well, let me ask you this one. How many have ever got advice from somebody that didn't work out very well? Okay, so it's a crapshoot. Not that we're going to throw dice in church, okay? But it's like, you know, sometimes they're right. Listen, and sometimes people do give great advice, but I'll just be honest with you. It's never like that with the Scripture. If God said it, it's rock solid. I can throw my faith. I can throw my actions behind it. And I know that it's going to turn out just the way God said, even if I kind of am not quite there yet. He had a testimony of a confidence. And then lastly, he had the testimony of eternity. Verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. You know, some people might have looked up at him and thought, this is kind of crazy. You know, he had, by the way, as far as I know in the Scriptures, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it happened, he didn't really see Jesus face to face. He heard about him, he believed in him, and he set people out there. And regardless of what others thought about him, regardless of what others said about what he was doing, he had the testimony of eternity to say, this guy's got great faith. Now, by the way, one thing about being in a good church, you know, you do things go on in your life, there's people there to encourage you and to congratulate you, and that's all good. But can I just tell you something? As long as heaven is on board with what you're doing, that's the thing you want right there. The testimony of eternity. Now, let me ask you this as we conclude. What do you want to be great in your life? I don't know about you, but there's one thing that I want and I strive to be great at. I'm not there, but hopefully I get closer than I am now before I die. I want to be great in faith. There's a lot of things that go on in our life, and that's great. But if I want to be successful in one thing, I want to be successful in spiritual things. You know, sometimes our family, we play games. I hate to lose. You say, are you a sore loser? No, I'm an upset loser. And the sad thing is, my family's like that too. It's like, no one likes to lose. It's like, all right, the game's over, you're done, put it away. You won, put it away, okay? But you know, we want to be successful at that. You know, we win the game, it's like, all right, and then they all knock you down a couple pegs. But you know, here's the thing we ought to want to be successful at, spirituality. Amen. Trust in God, faith. Is that the desire of your life? Is that like the priority? As we look now, as not just as fathers, as parents, we look down, what is the legacy we want our children to have? I mean, you teach them things. I mean, you teach them about business. You teach them about hard work and all these things that are great. But if your children were to succeed in all of those things and yet be weak in faith, is that really what you want for them? See, let's leave a legacy of faith. And it starts with us. Jesus marveled at this man that he didn't see face to face because of this man's great faith. And I hope that that's our desire. I want to be spiritual. I want to be successful in the things that God wants me to be successful at. And let everything else work itself out. Let's stand this morning, if we could, just for a minute. Our world pushes for success. Our world strives for achieving and success. And if we're not careful as Christians, we get caught up in that. And when you get caught up in that, then what you do is that's what you're striving for, and you try to throw spirituality on top of it. You know, hey, let me do that, and just enough spirituality to add that to my life. No, 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 that's the main course. Everything else ought to filter itself around that. Now, let me say this. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world, be successful in everything this world has to offer, and yet lose his soul? There's one area you do not want to miss out on. That's eternity. If you're here this morning, let me ask you this. How confident are you in your salvation? In where you will spend eternity? You can make all the money this world has to offer, and yet if you die without Jesus Christ, no matter how, you could live to be 100, it was all a waste. It was all a waste. Here's a question this morning. If you were to die today, would you be 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have any doubt whatsoever? You see, that could be taken care of. With every head and every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask this question. No one will look around. Are you 100% for sure if you were to die, you go to heaven? If that's you, do you say, you know, Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure that when I die, I go to heaven, but that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray with me? Is there anybody like that? Just quickly raise your hand and you can put it down. Anybody at all? Yes. See the hand. Yes. See that? Anybody else? Anybody at all? How's your life going today? Are you striving for success in everything in your life, but yet not in the faith? Then we need to get our priorities worked out, do we not? The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? Let's put God first. Let's put spiritual things first. Wouldn't you like to be the kind of individual where Jesus would turn to a group of people and say, I have not seen such great faith? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for this story. What a man. He amazed Jesus Christ for one reason, because he had great faith. May we strive to have that type of faith. May we have a faith that is so strong, a confidence in God that is so strong that we would see its effects in our life. Bless us now as we go this way. I pray you'd bless the fathers. Thank you for them that they're here. I pray that you would give them a great day and work in their lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.